Okay, we're going to play a little game this morning. Name that tune. I will let you try to guess at first, and then if you don't get it, I'll give you some clues. So cue the music if you would, Tim. No, you're not participating. All right, 1 second.
People's Court.
People's Court. How many knew that? Really? Okay, who was the judge? Not Judy. Judge Wapner. Right? People's Court, Judge Wapner. Started in 1981. That brought on a whole slew of courtroom drama, both figurative or what's fictional and real life drama within the courtroom. I used to love watching those shows, especially the beginning part when it wasn't as put on and as dramatic. I had an interest in law. I enjoyed studying it when I was going through my business degree. Just the thought that there was a system or a structure that you could rely on that would determine right and wrong. I enjoyed the thought, and maybe you did too, gave me some peace of mind, some security, that there would be some place you could go, that right and wrong would be determined, the wrongdoer would be punished, and the right would be brought to restitution, brought some resolution to their lives, right? They would have been given whatever they were wronged from. We put a lot of trust in people, don't we? I mean, Judge Wapner was like that grandpa that, man, you wanted to please, but you never crossed. And he came down and he had the values that we believed in and he would set it all straight. Once again, we put a lot of trust in people, don't we? Why is that? I mean, granted, we stand and we live amidst a government that is somewhat sound in ethics, at least somewhat punishing what is wrong and doing what is right. If you compare our situation to many around the world, we are looked upon as an ethical government. In fact, some countries have invited us in. Muslim countries have invited us in and said, we would like for you to come and bring with you Christian ethics because we see it in business and we see it in government that it is lacking and we need it. Sort of hard to believe sometimes, but we are invited in these places. We put a lot of trust in appealing to a government and to a system, to people, because sometimes I believe we don't trust God. It's much easier to give ourselves over to a system, to other people, because sometimes we don't believe God has our best interest at heart. We believe sometimes that God is unfair. Now, in our pious religion, we would say, no, God is not unfair. He is just. But sometimes we don't believe that in our hearts. We believe that God really loves justice and puts out a little mercy. God is a just God, but He loves mercy. And He wants to express something that is different through you and I. He wants us to demonstrate a value system, which is contained in His kingdom, that underlies His kingdom, that the world can't understand. I cannot tell you what Judge Wapner or Judge Judy or Judge Alex or the divorce court person presiding over that has as far as values. But I can tell you what God has revealed to me about the values of His kingdom. And sometimes they come in conflict. We're in the book of Acts. And Lance, I didn't talk to you about this. I don't know where we're going or how far we're going today. We'll go as far as we go and then he can pick up next week. We're in the book of Acts, and I would like to start around the end of 24. But I think we have to wrestle with this thought that we become very impatient with God, especially when we see that he is inactive, at least in our estimation. When we see and we think to ourselves that he has got us in the wrong position with the wrong people. But God puts us in positions, and he's not slow as someone thinks slow is. He's patient. And he has a value of love and grace and a heart of reconciliation that he wants to see happen in the world. He wants to see people come to know him for who he is. And oftentimes, if we're put in positions and places where faith is not necessarily needed, God's character is not put on display. However, as we talked a few weeks ago, when there is tension in our lives, when we're uncertain about tomorrow, when there are things going on where we don't have the answers and we want resolution, there is a prime opportunity for our faith to be developed. And in so doing, faith is what pleases God. And as we develop that faith, that God develops that in us, and we get to know God and we get to love him the way we do, then we express that beautifully in the world. There will always be tension. There will always be tension in this walk with Jesus. But tension is needed for faith. And when we express that faith, we are seen as vulnerable. And God's character is shown through us. If we try to short-circuit this and appeal to someone of authority, remember we talked about when you are not getting the service that you demand, that you deserve, with customer service, what do you say? Put me on with your supervisor. When you don't get the service you want, when you are put in a vulnerable position, when you're thirsty, and the server has not been around your table for like 17 minutes, what do you say when they come back? I'd like to have a word with your manager, please. Because our value to us is self-preservation. It's selfishly motivated. The value of the kingdom is selfless. It's others-focused. So we're going to talk a little bit about the contrast in the two kingdoms. The system and the kingdom and the values of the world, and the system and the kingdom and the values of Christ's kingdom. And how that puts us in a position sometimes of vulnerability. The world will see through your reactions, through your actions, what system, what kingdom, what values you condone, what you submit yourself to, and who you submit yourself to. Whether that is the system, the people of this world, or Christ and his kingdom. Because in the one system, let's face it, popular opinion holds a lot of weight. People-pleasing is evident. And the government and the system that we live in, but not put ourselves to, does not frown upon you looking out for your own rights. It does not frown upon you preserving your own well-being. However, in Christ's kingdom, as he is king, faith is at play. Trust that God has your best interest at heart. Let's look at Acts 24. Okay, where we are in the story, Paul is in Jerusalem. Not now, but he went to Jerusalem. He was wrongfully accused. Came under the jurisdiction of religious leaders. They wanted him dead. He is now under the jurisdiction of the Roman government. And under their judicial system, he is secretly gone to Caesarea because everybody wants to kill him. And that's what he was told all along the way on the way to Jerusalem. And so now he is standing trial. And this is going to be a long process for Paul. And so he's in front of Felix. Felix is an interesting character. Let's turn there now. 24. And towards the end of the chapter, verse 24. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send him for quite often converse with him. But after two years had passed. But after 2 years have passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. This is the system that was at play then. The Jews had no other recourse but to look to the Romans. They didn't choose that. They were oppressed. Roman come and conquered them. And so now they have to submit to the Roman government. While these religious leaders really were self-serving, all they wanted was Paul dead. He was causing so much problems for them. He was a thorn. So they just wanted him dead. So if you want to have to use the Roman government, they're going to play all their cards to get Paul dead, killed. And so they are talking now with Felix. Well, Felix, interesting enough, had fallen in love with this Drusilla, who happened to be married to another king. She was Herod Antipas's the first daughter. And so he goes and steals away this guy's wife. He's known for cruelty. He's known for taking advantage of people, manipulation. He's known for being a people pleaser. And so he's holding Paul in prison. Why? Well, he's probably wanting to show off for his wife because, you know, it wasn't too long ago where he had to steal her from another king. So he doesn't want that to happen to him. So maybe he's playing it up for his wife who is a Jew. Now, Felix knew a lot about the way. He knew a lot about Christianity. He knew a lot about Jesus. But yet, he only knew of Jesus. Obviously, the character of Christ was not being lived out in Felix. Obviously, he had not made a commitment to Jesus. He is playing his cards as best as he can. He's trying to get his self put out there, his best interests furthered. So he keeps Paul in prison. Paul, living under the values, submitting himself to the lordship of Jesus Christ and being within the kingdom, sits in the midst of a prison, knowing it all along on his way to Jerusalem that it would end up this way, submitted to Christ that the character of God may be seen. And so when he starts talking about the values of the kingdom, about right living, about what is going to happen, about Jesus coming, about all those things that he had come to know since Christ had met him on the Damascus Road, he's expressing this to all for all to hear. Not only Felix, not only Drusilla, but everybody else in the court. For he was submitted and living within the kingdom values, which puts what first? God's heart, which is to reconcile man to himself. He sits in prison for 2 years in a place of vulnerability. obviously in a place of tension. He doesn't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And yet he willingly puts himself there. He made the choice. Long time prior. These are the conflicting evidences of the values that underlie the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of Christ. Those who are out for their own benefit, those who will selfishly manipulate others at great cost to others in order that they would be furthered along. Compared to Paul, who puts his interest on the back burner, putting other people's interests ahead of his own, and that the character of God may be seen in all the world. Let me put everybody's thoughts, fears at ease. God's kingdom will overcome. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that this kingdom is founded on grace. Those religious leaders are trying to prove that they're right. That just like with Judge Wapner and Judge Alex and Judge Judy and everybody else, that the onus is on who can prove themselves right. This is the value of our system, is it not? You legal experts out there, is it not? It's who can we prove right, who can we prove wrong? Who is guilty, who is innocent, therefore the system will do its work. Not bad. It's needed. The kingdom that supersedes that kingdom in all systems of the world is based on grace. That in fact, whether I'm right or wrong, does not affect the grace of God. Paul, when it was in prison, says, you know what? There's this element that where sin is abounding, grace is all the more there. Not that we sin all the more, that grace can abound all the more, but the essence, we don't have to figure out right or wrong when it comes to being reconciled to God. We have been proven guilty, period. We're guilty. Every one of us, everyone born to the Son of Man, or born to Adam and Eve, our parents, every one of us that has ever lived and will ever live is guilty. We are wrong. You know how restitution was made? Jesus gave himself selflessly. That's the value of the kingdom. Selflessly giving himself over, becoming one of us, being made in human likeness, and being obedient to death. We were wrong. The wrath of God was placed upon him. Pretty amazing, if you think about it. It's not about finding out who's right or wrong. We're already proven wrong. Paul was willing to be vulnerable and place himself in a state of transparency. That the world would know, all those within hearing of what he was saying, all those who were trying him, all the religious leaders were out for his blood, he stood in a place of vulnerability. The character of God and the values of the kingdom, which places other people first, could be seen. You and I are put in similar positions. Most of the time our lives are not at stake. But we are placed in positions where there should be seen a conflict, a contradiction, a contrast. And the values in which we live and submit ourselves to, and the person we submit ourselves to, and the value system of the world, the values of our government, the values that are placed all over the world outside of Christ, and the difference of being self-seeking. Self-absorbed, wanting to be proven right, where right and wrong makes a difference between punishment and restitution in this life. Praise God that is not the case in God's kingdom. That the values that he has set forth out of an example are one that is self-sacrificing. That is humility, gentleness. How are we doing? Is that what the world sees? Humility, gentleness, tenderness, compassion, generosity. I would guarantee you that if you allow God's Spirit to work through you in this, he will put his character on display for the world. Yet, on the other hand, if we're living out these values that are self-preserving, watching out for our own rights, when in fact our Savior actually gave up every right he had as a Son of God, but looking for our own rights, how can we be ministered to? We are constantly going to be submitting ourselves, making our appeals to a system that doesn't have our best interest at heart. When a server comes to your table and he doesn't serve you, she doesn't serve you well, and you go to the manager, do you think the manager wants your best interest at heart, or does he just want your business? I think we need, as Paul did, to in our hearts commit ourselves to Christ alone, that we would demonstrate the values of the kingdom of selflessness, self-sacrifice, others-focused, that ultimately we would be proven, our works by his Spirit would be proven golden under the value system of his kingdom. Are you willing to walk that path? Are you willing to lay down your rights, even of being right? Are you willing to be taken advantage of sometimes? Are you willing to make God's character and the value system that is underlying his kingdom seen in the world for what it is? We're going to see Paul go through more trials, but it gives him opportunity to express more and more of the character of God and the values of his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, I will have to admit to you, as you know my heart, there's a part of me that likes to see justice happen. I like to see the wrong punished and the right given resolution, restitution. Yet God, if that was the case with me, I would not be here today. You have every right as a just God to do away with my life. For the sins that I've committed, for the sin in my life, I would be proven guilty without a doubt. Yet your heart is reconciliation. And you did whatever it took in order to make that happen. Jesus, you came as one of us. You lived as one of us, yet perfectly. You identified with everything that we experience. You're obedient even unto death. And now you offer us this gift that we don't fully understand. Sometimes I think I'm clueless when it comes to this grace thing. But that you offer us grace. That you forgive for everything that we have done. That you invite us into your kingdom. God, you're amazing. I agree, you're awesome. There's so many words that we can say that sometimes seem so small. I just thank you that you are who you are. You're not Judge Wapner. You're not Judge Judy. You don't have any kinds of restrictions on your grace. There's nothing left that has not been paid for. All the wrong in the world has been paid for. Jesus, praise you. We have nothing left to pay for. You've taken that penalty upon yourself. And so, God, what would you have us do to convey this message? What do you desire to see in us? What do you desire to do through us that the world will see that it's not man we need to appeal to? God, we want to be in line in our hearts. We want to join you with proclaiming this message of grace. You love mercy. And so, God, sometimes in trembling, when we really commit these things to you, we say we want to be put in positions that may be vulnerable, causes us to be transparent, but be right in line with what you want to do in the world. We commit ourselves to you. Father, you are the one that is generous and gracious. We'd rather put ourselves into your hands than into the hands of man. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. You are the King. You're the head of the church. And we submit ourselves to you in your name. Amen. Let me just say this. We have opportunity to pray with you. We would love to pray with you. If you're in a position right now where you are unsure of where you stand with him, God wants you to know where you stand with him. He wants you to be sure, fully sure, that you're in right standing with him, that you're in a reconciled relationship with him. He wants nothing more in the world than to have relationship with you. If you feel like there has been a tug on your heart and it says, you know what, I'm so often looking out for my best interest. If something happens in my life, I'm looking to who I can appeal to, who can be on my side. Give that to him. He's the right judge, but he's a loving father. And what he wants to do is to get you a right perspective of himself, a right perspective of his kingdom, a right perspective of his heart. And you know what? It may be vulnerable. You may be put in a very compromising circumstance. Me too. But we are children of God. And this kingdom is going to overcome the world eventually to where Jesus is going to reign in person. The gates of hell is not going to prevail. This is only a short time, people. We're only here a short time. Your life, my life, is a breath, and it's gone. It's like that. What matters is where do we stand with God, and what are we doing with our lives to proclaim a message of grace?